Let's talk first. We had no races to decide in the College Station City Council race this time. How does that make things different that this is a council that basically remains intact?
Well, I think it certainly allows us to move ahead with all the many projects we got, knowing that we've all been there and debated these issues and made some decisions and we're moving on. So, I think it's always good to have some new people coming in, but at this point, it didn't happen that way this year. I think it's working well.
Sure. As one member of council, and obviously something that y'all took a look at, the BCAD question about whether there should be a new home for the Brazos mm-hmm. County Appraisal District, normally the kind of thing that probably is off the radar, but because this has been discussed a lot, there's some thoughts about where some people want to be in some places, some people want to be others. Tell us how you voted on that and why you voted that way.
Well, I made the motion and voted to support the appraisal district board's proposal to move ahead with the land that they had selected and the building, the needing a building. I certainly never questioned the need for the building. I've been there. I understand what their growth challenges are, and I think they should, as an independent organization, own their own building. The selection of the land, there was some confusion about that. There still is. My view of an independent entity like the Brazos Central Appraisal District is that it's a wholly owned organization, a 501c3, with five co-equal entities, and I felt like we've appointed those board members. They make good business decisions. I didn't see a big problem with them selecting the land they felt like was best for their business model, and didn't really want to micromanage that decision, so I... That's the way I went. It looks to me like they're now going to be presenting to the commission, the Brazos County Commissioners, on the 24th. I hope to be there and hear what they have to say publicly about this.
Well, I guess if you wanted to make it just a black and white, one side of the fence or the other, the idea of money being taken out of the tax coffers because you take something off the tax rolls as opposed to some other land that's held by an entity that's non-taxable. You voted in a situation where that might happen.
Yeah, I did. And frankly, I didn't mention it in my discussion that evening, but we do that periodically. Not more than 3 months ago, the City of College Station Council voted to take 12 acres of good property off the tax roll for a good purpose, and that is a retirement community near Christ United Methodist Church, run by the United Methodist Retirement Corporation. A great use, a needed service, and we did that. As a resident of the city, which has the largest employer that is on non-taxable property, I understand the impact of that, but I think we need to consider each one independently.
John Nichols joining us this morning from College Station City Council. Well, while we're talking about buildings that are not on the tax rolls and what you do with them, the Arts Council building, which is in a great location, lots of things that can be done there. As one member of council, what are your thoughts about what should be done there?
Well, that's one of those projects that we authorized the staff to proceed to evaluate. It does seem clear that the Arts Council and CVB are moving forward with some plans to co-locate in a different location. The city has a lot of unmet needs in terms of staff housing and services to the community. We've hired a design consultant to look at all the needs and the gaps in those needs. And the Senior Citizen Center is one of those that's been discussed as a possible, possibly locating there. So I'm waiting to hear what that analysis comes out with.
Sure.
It does seem clear in a couple of years that the lease that the Arts Council has with the city will terminate because they've moved on, and it's a good bit of building, as the city manager says. We already own it. We already are paying the utilities and the maintenance and the upkeep on it. Let's move it to the next highest use, and we'll see what that is.
Of course, you decided not to have a bond issue after legislation in Austin made that not look as attractive as it should. Number one item to be scored in there was some sort of a police facility upgrading from what you have now. Some transitional steps being made right there. What's your view of what's been done and what the future holds for the police facility?
Well, there is some negotiations going on to find some additional rental space in the city. that if one or two of the departments will move into out of the existing building just to provide space. But there was a facility study done in the last year or two on the police station, so they know the requirements. We're in the process of selecting a final design consultant to really dig into it and help us design a new police station. The council authorized expenditure of a few million dollars to get that study done and all the engineering work. There is some plans developing for council and staff trip to other cities to look at recently built police departments. I think it's moving forward. All in all, on the whole capital program, the staff has followed the direction of council and taking all of these projects, including the police department, put out a lot of RFQs and requests for proposals from different design firms on a number of different projects. So come January, it looks to me like we're going to start having contract approvals coming to the city council on all the design engineering on many, many projects. It's going to be a busy time.
John Nichols joining us this morning from College Station City Council. I think in our news earlier today, the discussion of growth is here whether we like it or not, and there's not much you can do about it because it is. With that in mind, where are we as far as, you know, the last time College Station got into an annexation mode, that made some people in Welborn pretty unhappy. What do you see as the future as far as annexation is concerned, and a task force has been put together about that?
Well, that's certainly a timely topic because there has been a task force working on it, three members of Planning and Zoning and three members of City Council plus staff since last spring. We've done a lot of listening to various stakeholders, land developers, builders, commercial people that need and use land for development purposes. We've had providers like Welborn Water Supply, a special utility district, come in and talk to us about the impact of anything we might do on their business models, and so there, we've been in the information collecting mode. The annexation agenda is in front of us. There are some strategic choices, I think, that are really important here. Number one, the home builders have continually encouraged us to reach out and bring more buildable land into the city because the city is the biggest provider of sewer services. It's the only provider of sewer services in a lot of ways. And the cost of land is such that 1 acre estate lots or bigger that have to be built out in the county or in estate kind of settings means that you've used up land that you could be building four or five homes on and in order to provide the septic system a foundation. So we get a lot of encouragement to take in more land. I will say that Lance Sims of Planning and Development Services and his staff did a very interesting study for us. They looked at the growth rates. They looked at the land uses we already have in the city and the land we already have in the city that isn't yet zoned for single-family residences but likely will be. And we looked at the growth rate, and his analysis suggests that we need about enough homes for 30,000 people more between now and 2030. The land in that inventory that's already inside the city, you could build enough single-family homes for 40,000 citizens. And that's an interesting analysis, and he's going to review that with the home builders next week and, or the week after Thanksgiving and get their input into the assumptions that went into it and so forth.
Of course, that's fine. That's an all things being equal thing.
That's all things being equal. Yeah. And you get to that point, if you haven't taken any more land, there won't be but 10,000 spaces left.
Right.
So at some point, are we willing to say we're going to pull up the drawbridge and we're going to live as a city of 55 square miles or whatever it is and then allow others to do whatever they want to do in the county? The county doesn't want dense housing in the county. You know that.
You're right.
And yet people are coming. So strategically, we have some choices. If we want to allow the city to grow and absorb more people, which is a strategic decision, then we're going to have to be serious about annexation, and we're going to have to be be looking at land that can be annexed within the law as it currently exists.
Well, let me ask you then, because you're uniquely qualified, former member, former chair of P&Z. I mean, you know what growth looks like. Mm-hmm. Where do you, as one member of council, give me one or two spots where you think the annexation is most likely to happen first?
Oh, I think probably some to the south. We've got commercial land to the west along Highway 60 that probably could be brought into the city reasonably efficiently, and there are good businesses that would like to see the city services for their business developments in that area. We've got a big problem on the west side of Welborn Road, west side of the railroad tracks, in that we can't gravity sewer that area. So all the wastewater there either has to be put through a lift station, or we have to build a new, very expensive, very difficult to get approved wastewater treatment plant on the west side. The current water master planning activity that's underway right now is operating under the assumption that we are not going to do intense development on the west side of the railroad tracks heading towards Brazos River and south. I'm not sure that's a sustainable assumption. And so we're going to be discussing that actually this morning with our water and wastewater director. There are some large tracks out in that area, but it's going to be expensive to sewer those. Now, they could create a mud out there in the county.
Municipal utility district.
Yeah, but the county is not too excited about those. And we've got one that's kind of sitting on the south edge of us that we've authorized that I believe is going to help bring more land onto the market for single-family homes.
John Nichols joining us this morning from College Station City Council. Let the people causing the growth pay for the growth. Impact fees. Tell me what your thoughts are there.
Impact fees. That has come back to the council. The council is, I think, unanimously in a consensus at the last meeting, directed staff to hire the consultants that would be necessary to do the calculations to estimate what impact fees we could charge. Impact fees on both water and wastewater, I think, make a lot of sense. They're the easiest ones to manage and to connect up with and to defend from a use point of view. On the transportation or thoroughfare roadway impact fees, we're going to look at those as well. There are several cities in Texas that use those. As the calculations that were cited at the last meeting indicated, we would have generated about $7 million of new revenue for paying down some of those capital costs for roads if we had had that since, I think, 2011.
Now, there are we talking about a citywide, everybody there, pays an impact fee?
Yeah. And, well, you can go different ways with those. On the thoroughfare plan, it would almost have to be, I guess. But you'd have zones within the city, so that if it was a development in Zone A, the impact fee from that would have to deliver a transportation improvement, an extra lane mile or deceleration lanes or whatever it is in that zone.
Okay, well, I don't want to get too much in the weeds here, but then the question is, do we, again, Brian and Austin were the ones who started the idea of having traffic impact fees. We have a lot of students who are here. And they're here all year long. They're here for 9 months out of the year, and they develop a lot of wear and tear on our roads. I'm talking about that kind of a traffic impact.
Okay, let's sort this out.
Okay.
You're not talking about traffic impact fee in the sense of new growth.
No.
You're talking about a transportation fee of some kind. And Brian does that. I think it's up to $12 a month per household. We have a drainage impact, a drainage fee. That's done similarly, but we backed away from the idea of using a fee for roads. That, to me, is mostly for reconstruction and rebuilding and maintenance of the existing roadway. And we might come back and revisit that again. If we had that, it would free up some of our general revenue money, which we could then put against selling more bonds to build the new roads out in the newer areas where they're needed or to catch up with growth.
Okay, so folks will understand, why is he continuing to do this? Because I want to say, and I believe you're the first one to talk about it on our station maybe 2 years ago, but almost to a person now, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but this is a city council that is not going to back away from a possible tax increase next year. So if you're starting to talk about any kind of other citywide impact fee on top of a tax increase, then the cost of living going up.
I think what you need to do is talk about all the options for revenue development that are on the table to pay for the services that are needed. When we come time to actually debate the budget next spring and summer, we will select some of those and maybe not select other ones. And so there may be a tax increase and to increase more general revenue to pay for a lot of services we need, and we may not do the transportation fee like Brian has had for 20 years. So I don't know exactly which way we're going to come out on that. But as far as an impact fee on new development,
right.
I think the council is serious about considering the options there, and that's why we've authorized to spend up to $150,000 for two different, $75,000 for each study.
Sure.
And the water and wastewater are going to come down the road real quick because we got the wastewater master plan is going to be completed this winter, and we're going to see some substantial needs to upgrade our facilities, expand our facilities, and that's one way to cover those costs as opposed to raising the rates for everybody across the city.
And again, that's why we want to make it clear. It's a little bit of apples and oranges, but as it continues to cost more to live places, you need to at least be aware of that. Thanks so much for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
Glad I could be here.
Okay, it's John Nichols from College Station City Council.